Calvary Chapel. Good to see you all. Happy Father's Day, all you dads. All right, let's open our Bibles, shall we, to Acts chapter 4, as we continue to go through the book of Acts, verse by verse and chapter by chapter. If you came this morning without a Bible and have need of one, you just have to raise a hand and one will be handed to you so you can follow along with us. It's Acts chapter 4. We're going to pick up in verse 23. Run right over. Oh, you got one. Acts chapter 4, picking up in verse 23, where we left off last week. Please pray with me. Father, how grateful we are to hold the Bibles in our hands, the very Word of God. And God, I pray for all of us that this book is not only opened on Sunday mornings. I pray throughout the week, every single day, God, we would come and seek out your word and look to your word. Lord, as we read it, it becomes a part of us. As we read it, it can flow through us. And so I pray, as we study this area of scripture in Acts, God, that you truly would do a mighty work in all of us. We're thankful, Lord, that you don't give up on us, that you don't stop providing for us and revealing your will for us, that you're always at work doing something in our midst. And so wherever we are at this morning, each and every one of us, I pray that we are looking to you to provide. We are looking to you to do amazing things. You are the God of miracles, and we want to see miracles happen in our lives. Not just for the sake of miracles, but Lord, that it would be a testimony of your goodness and of your presence in our hearts. So bless this time as we study your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. This morning I want to talk about prayer. A topic that, you know, for many of us as believers, I mean, prayer, we know about prayer. We know it's communication with God. We know it's talking to God. Here's the problem with prayer. Do you ever feel like you pray enough? I don't think anybody ever in the history of time would ever say, oh yeah, I pray plenty. I pray enough. No, we all would probably desire to pray more, or pray more effectively, or pray more often, or pray about different topics more readily. We would never say we pray enough. My question is, do your prayers get answered the way you want them to? Because I believe that every prayer gets answered. But sometimes the answer is no, isn't it? Sometimes the answer is not just yet. Sometimes the answer is wait. So every prayer gets answered, but the fact is we just must keep praying. What hinders your prayers from getting answered, I believe, is doubt. So when we doubt the Lord, when we doubt what God is doing, when we doubt that God hears us, when we doubt the fact that perhaps our prayer isn't effective enough or we haven't lived properly so that our prayer would be answered, and it's a hindrance. Jesus' half-brother James says this, but let him ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. Doubt. If you remember where we are in the book of Acts, Peter and John were going into the temple at the time of prayer. There was a lame man there begging for money. And it was Peter's belief and John's belief and faith in Christ that brought this man complete and total healing. Peter didn't doubt, John didn't doubt that the power was in Jesus. And we must come to a place in our walks with God that we don't doubt that God can, okay? We may doubt that he will, but we cannot doubt that he can. Your prayer, whatever prayer it is, as small as it may be, or as big as it may be, don't doubt that God is listening. Because doubt is that cancer in the heart of a believer that erodes our faith and erodes the fact that we can just ask boldly anything that we desire according to his will, and it will be answered. See, the question when it comes to our prayers, who benefits the most from our prayers? See, if we're praying prayers just for ourselves, if we're praying just for God to bless us and to give us what we want, that certainly isn't praying according to God's will, is it? If we are praying for God to bless our lives so that we might bless others or might bless him, then that's bringing the focus upon God. It says in Ephesians 3:20, and we've talked about it several times over these last few weeks, Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. What a great verse. That Paul gets to a place in his relationship with God and says, we are able to pray and God will do exceedingly abundantly more. Paul is struggling for word to put it into words the fact that God blesses us beyond what we ask. Do you realize that? How many of us have prayed for something and God answers it but then gives a bonus? God answers your prayer, but he gives you a peace. God answers your prayer, but he shows you something else about his character. And to think about the prayers that we pray are exceedingly, abundantly more. Ooh. The biggest prayer you could ever pray, God can do more than that. The most impossible prayer you could ever pray, God can do more than that too. Wow. That is serving a God, and that is praying to a God that is limitless in his ability. And I believe that should motivate us to pray even more fervently, to pray even more deeply. And the verse goes on, to him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus. God will answer your prayer abundantly so that he gets the glory. Wouldn't you agree that's exactly what he did to this lame man? He healed him physically, but it brought him a great amount of glory because so many people believed in Jesus. So it's all about Jesus. It's not about us. Power, it says, in authority, it says, according to the power that works in us. What's the power that works in you? It's certainly the Holy Spirit. It's certainly Jesus who dwells in our hearts. That's the power, not us, not the words that we choose, not the lifestyle that we live. No, it's the faith that we have. God desires to go above and beyond what we ask. Question is, are we asking? Are we asking? See, today's message, I've entitled, What to Expect When You Ask. What to expect? To pray a prayer and to know with confidence that it's now in God's hands. To pray a prayer and not just go, I wonder if God heard that, or I wonder if God will do it. I mean, how many of us have prayed those prayers with passion and with fervor and said, God, please, I want this to happen. But then in the back of our minds, but will he? Well, there has to be that assurance. And so what to expect when you ask? Because I see in the second half of chapter 4 an amazing amount of power in the early church and the believers there. Their confidence in God was contagious. Also, Jesus says this about prayer. Prayer needs to be in agreement. I think it's always a good thing to have someone in your life that you can pray with. That can not only encourage you in your prayer, but also keep you in check. I mean, Jesus says this, again, I say to you that if two or of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. Two come together in agreement to pray. Maybe it's for a child. Maybe it's for wisdom. Maybe it's for direction. Maybe it's for provision. When two come together, let's pray in agreement. Many times when I pray for people up here, I pray for their faith, to believe that God will, because maybe they've been dealing with something for a long period of time. And sometimes you just need that brother or sister in your life to go, let's believe God will do it, and to encourage you in that. And again, that's what I see. These guys in the second half of chapter 4, I see their faith in God amazingly. And I am hoping that when we leave here today, what to expect when we ask will change your perspective on how you're praying to God. Look with me in verse 23. This is after they've been before the leaders, they've been told and they've been threatened many times to stop speaking in Jesus' name. And we pick up in verse 23 and says, and being let go, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. So when they had heard that, listen, look at this. They raised their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, you are God, who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of your servant David have said, why did the nations rage and the people plot vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. Now give me your attention. This was a prayer that the church, the believers there, prayed after they were persecuted in the temple. Peter and John and those came to their other believers and told them everything that would happen, everything that had taken place in the temple. I got to tell you, they were excited about the persecution that they were receiving in the temple because they were being used by God to represent Christ. And they could tell by the response from the religious that their witness was bold. And I just love the fact that they come back to their other believers. Isn't that the first place we go when we find ourselves experiencing something difficult? Coming to someone we care about, hey, this happened to me. Please pray for me. Please help encourage me. Please come alongside me. I mean, it's those times when things happen in our lives. Exciting things happened here, and the disciples were excited about it. I don't even think they saw it as a negative. I think they saw it as a positive. I think they came back and said, you're not going to believe it. God let us share about Jesus to the religious people. And guess what? They could recognize that we had been with Christ. I mean, isn't that a wonderful testimony? For someone to look at you and go, I can tell you've been with Jesus. I can tell you've spent time with the Lord. I can tell you're a Spirit-filled believer. That is truly a blessing from God, to be used in that way. And I think the disciples came back and said, guys, we got persecuted for Jesus. And now let's ask God to empower us. I believe Peter, John, and all those that were there were already bold in Christ. I mean, Peter had no problem looking at the religious leaders and said, you're the ones that crucified him. You're the ones that took him. He already had boldness, but the fact that they prayed for more boldness was even, to me, more powerful. What to expect when you ask? Number one, God always answers. I want us to remember that. God always answers, and I alluded to it earlier. God always hears your prayer. I've always found in my life, in my prayer life, when I ask contrary to God's will, he's very generous to tell me that. He's very generous to show me that, and he will adjust my prayers based on what I'm asking. Have you ever asked God something, and even as you said it, you're like, that seemed very selfish? It's like, oh. Because sometimes I get into my time of prayer, and it's like, God, I need this, and God, would you do that? And God, and almost like, God, you do everything, and I'll just sit back and receive the blessings. Anybody ever feel like that? No, just me. Okay, that's fine. And it's like, sometimes I just get to the point where I go, you know what? I'm going to stop asking for things, and I'm just going to start thanking you for things. Did you notice that's what the first thing they do? Look back down. Let me turn my page back over. Look back down to verse 24. It says, so when they heard that, they raised, notice it says voice to God. They were in such unity. It says, with one accord. They were in such unity. They were agreeing in prayer. Notice the first thing they say, Lord, you are God. Guys, I don't think it's by accident that the Bible shows us that. That the first thing we do when we come to prayer is not just start rattling off the list of things that we want from God, but to acknowledge who God is. Acknowledge him as Lord and as Master. Acknowledge him as the one who's calling the shots. In fact, if you circle the word Lord there, it's a very unique word, Lord, in the New Testament of all the times it's used before. Here it's used, let me see if I can find it. It's used to speak of, oh my gosh, where is it? Oh, here it is. The word Lord isn't used in the New Testament this often. There's one time it's used here. It's a word used to speak of a slave owner or a ruler. So basically, the believers are coming together and they're saying, Lord, we serve you. You're in control. We acknowledge you as the one who's calling the shots. Guys, I think it's very healthy for all of us in our times of prayer. Yes, Jesus has given us access. Yes, by the blood of Christ, we can come and speak to God face to face. But I also think we must come humbly before God and say, you're God, I'm not, I really have no right to ask. But you've allowed me to truly come to God with that humble heart. These believers were so excited about what was going on, but yet they still put God in his proper place. And I'm telling you, if prayers don't get answered, it's because we're not putting God in the proper place. God is not taking our requests. We should be taking his requests. That's how it should be. And that's what they did. They lifted their voices to God and acknowledged him as their Lord and Savior. Prayer should start by recognizing who God is. Do you recognize him as your Lord? As your master? You know, we live in America and we feel like we've got so much control. And we just do not like to relinquish control, do we? We want to be in control of everything. Humility is not something I think comes naturally for Americans, especially American believers. Listen, God is not at our beck and call. We are at his. Remember who God is. They prayed with power and confidence because they knew God was in control. Even in their situation, as the religious leaders came against them, they said, God, they're coming against us, but we know you're bigger than him. They're bigger than the situation. God is bigger than your circumstances. Why is it sometimes we feel like our circumstances are so bad that there's no hope? Hey, we've gone through, there's a lot of us in this room have gone through very difficult things. And we've prayed and God has answered. I mean, just this week, my wife and I, we asked some brothers and sisters in our lives to be praying for a certain situation. And they faithfully prayed and God answered. And I'm telling you what, we shouldn't be surprised. And you know, after we got the answer and it was a good report, I just loved how people get, praise the Lord. To God be the glory. God is good. And it's just acknowledging who God is. It's nothing that we did. I'm thankful that God answered according to our desire, but it was always about giving God the glory. I think it was the same thing for the early church. They just wanted God to get the glory, no matter what was happening. When you ask, make sure you acknowledge who God is. That's number one. Number two, notice it says there in verse 25, who by the mouth of your servant David have said. So what are they doing? They're acknowledging who God is and what he's done. He's all powerful. He created all things, the heavens, the earth, and the sea. You're the creator of everything. You're in control. But then they also come to the word of God, the scripture. These guys recognized the word of God and what was happening in their midst. Look what it says. Verse 25 in the middle. Why did the nations rage and the people plot a vain thing? The kings of the earth took their stand and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. They recognized Psalm 2 was happening right in their midst. That the rulers were coming against God. Guys, if this doesn't speak to our current situation in our world today, the attacks, the rulers that are coming against the truth of God's word. I know I've said it many times, but I just can't grasp how someone can believe that the universe was created by mistake. It is so difficult to fully understand. I was driving the other day, and I'm just driving down the road. The sun was coming through the window, and it was, it gets warm, right? And I'm thinking, how far away is the sun? And I'm being heated by it. And to think that if I was a little bit closer to the sun, I would melt. And if I was a little bit farther from the sun, I would freeze. I am perfectly sweating in my car. And I'm thinking,
How does someone think this happened by accident? But yeah, and then I always remember the truth is that if they acknowledged it was God, then they have to be responsible to submit to God. They want to submit to man. Guys, God's in control. And these guys recognized the word of God, and what happened in their lives was the word of God. And so in your prayer, make sure scripture is being prayed, right? My prayer's always somewhere in there. Lord, help me keep my eyes on you, which is Hebrews 12:2. Fixing your eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. Keeping my eyes on you, Lord. That again, you're God. Again, the word of God has to come into play. When you pray, you must see your circumstances in the light of God's word. Whatever you're going through, whether you're on a mountaintop, you're having a great time, and you just love your relationship with the Lord, look to the word of God to encourage you that God never leave you nor forsake you. Or if you're going through something difficult, look at this. Ephesians. When you're in conflict, you need to be reminded, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Are you in a tough place? Are you going through something tough? Finances short? Listen, it's a spiritual battle. And if you recognize it as a spiritual battle and then realize that the Holy Spirit in you is greater than any spiritual battle you can come against, that's encouraging. So be reminded of that this morning. It's a spiritual battle. And then promises. Here's another one in Ephesians. Pray the promises of God. Pray that, notice this verse, Ephesians 3:16, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man. That you would be strengthened. Pray these verses. God, I am weak right now. Please give me strength in my inner man. Holy Spirit, take over. Because I believe when we expect, what to expect when we ask is to expect that God will hear us and answer according to his word. If you're worried about the words that you use in your prayer, you can't go wrong by using the scripture. You can use scripture and turn it into a prayer. But it's always behind the heart. It's not the words, it's the heart. I mean, when Paul wrote these words, he believed it. He believed it with all of his heart. Verse 28, look what they asked God to do. To do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. Peter and John realized that God was in control before this ever happened. He knew it was going to happen. He purposed it to happen. God allowed it to happen. Guys, sometimes in our lives, God allows these things to happen so that he can be revealed, so that we can rely on him. So that we can come to him and ask him, what do parents want? They want their kids to talk to him. They want their kids to talk to him and communicate with him. That's what God wants from us. Our Heavenly Father wants us to communicate to him. And they're asking, God, you do your will. You let your will be done over everything. So important. Because when we let God do what he wants to do, we can be at peace. We could be at peace. God, you just accomplish your will and move me so that I'm in line with you. That should bring a amount of peace in our hearts. And what's amazing to me is in verse 29 that they ask for something I believe they already had. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness, look what they say, that we may speak your word. You can't go wrong by asking God to do something that he loves you to do. If you're going to ask God, God, give me boldness to speak your word, guess what? He's going to give it to you. Notice they didn't ask for anything selfish. God, give us the strength to be smarter than the religious people. Give us strength to do amazing things. We never want to draw attention to ourselves. And they're always wanting it to be for God. And they wanted boldness. And I'm going to stand here before you this morning, and I'm going to tell you every single one of us in this room needs to ask for boldness. Ask for boldness. Again, what to expect when you ask. If you ask for boldness to be a powerful witness for Christ, guess what? God's going to answer that prayer. God, give me the boldness to endure the trials I'm going through. God, give me the boldness to deal with the physical issues that I'm going through. God, give me the boldness to speak the truth. Some of us in this room have a desire to teach the Word of God and want to communicate that to people. We need the boldness to do that. I got to tell you, almost every single Sunday without fail, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. I don't want to stand before you from my own strength or my own resource. I want to stand before you in the power of God. And I'm asking every single one of us in this room to pray a simple prayer to say, God, give me the boldness to be a witness for you. God, give me a boldness to represent you in the midst of your life. And I'm not saying this is meaning everybody's going to be a preacher. I'm just saying that you're going to be confident in your relationship with God in such a way that your very presence at your workplace or in your neighborhood or wherever you go is going to make a difference. That's truly what God wants to do, is use us boldly. And when they were asking, you know what they were asking for? They were asking to get more persecution. Because they were told not to speak in the name of Jesus, and here they're saying, give us the boldness to proclaim your word, to proclaim the truth, to proclaim the gospel. So they're basically saying, we're going to get attacked for this. So they weren't asking for comfort. No, they were asking for more confrontation. And I'll tell you, the more spiritual things we ask for, the more the enemy's going to come against us. So know what you're asking for. Know what you're asking for. Expect God to do this in our lives. And notice it was always about bringing God glory. Again, it wasn't anything selfish. Pride can so easily get in there to say, God, give me strength so that I can do amazing things for you, so that people can draw attention to me. It's not about us. It's not about you. It's about Jesus, and it's about God. Now, I don't know how long it took to get this prayer answered, but look at verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. That seems like it was answered pretty quickly. Isn't this the way we want our prayers to be answered? Lord, I want to ask, and I want to receive. And I would love to say this is how it always happens, but it doesn't, does it? How many of us in this room have been praying prayers for years? For years. And here's the thing. Sometimes I feel like we sound like a broken record, but to God we don't. God is outside of time, and every prayer you pray is precious to his heart. He even collects them in bowls. All of our prayers are being collected. So you don't lose heart if you've been praying a long time. Just make sure you're praying, acknowledging who God is and putting him first, bringing him glory. Those are prayers that get answered when God wants to answer them. They received boldness immediately. And I just think, God bless you. And what's so cool, just like when the Holy Spirit was poured out at Pentecost, like a mighty rushing wind, it says that the place was shaken. The power of this answered prayer shook the physical walls of the place that they were in. Someone said this about the situation. The presence of the Holy Spirit was so wonderfully manifested that even dead walls felt the power of the Spirit of life. Whew. I mean, don't we want to experience the power of God in that way? That we would say, God, give us boldness in such a way that you make your presence known. I want God to shake me. I want God to shake my existence so that I know he's there. Is that what you desire? Do you want that in your life? That boldness? What an amazing encouragement it must have been to those believers. And guys, listen, it was a prayer meeting where people gathered together and just believed in God, and the Spirit was poured out. Can I say they were willing to let the Spirit move through them? So the question becomes, are we willing to let the Spirit flow through us? Are we truly want, and again, not just getting the byproduct, but truly saying, God, I'm asking for you to move in my life so that you are put front and center and I'm put in the back. Now, I see people in here nodding, yes, we want that. And I'm telling you, I feel like the church today is just sitting back waiting for God's Spirit to move and not being active in it, not asking. I mean, do you want God's boldness in your life? Amen. Yes. Do you want it now? Could it happen in this place right now? Could God's Spirit be poured out right now? Do you believe that? Do you want it? Should we ask for it? I think so. Please stand with me. Please stand. God, we can't help but be moved by the power of the Scripture. God, I don't think they were men that were, quote unquote, any supernatural beings. I don't think they were special in any way. I think they were just men that were and women like us that have a heart for God, that have a desire to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to have a desire to be used in the day that they live, to make sure the gospel goes forth. And so, God, we don't have to manifest anything. We don't have to stir up boldness in us. We just have to simply ask for that boldness. And so, God, I thank you for all of us who are standing here this morning seeking after that boldness. Lord, whatever it may be, for whatever reason it may be, I just pray that the Spirit would fall afresh on all of us so that we would be changed, so that we would be transformed, so that the walls around us would be shaken. That we would speak and proclaim the gospel and proclaim Jesus with assurance and confidence, not in fear, God. I pray for each and every person here, wherever they are in their walks with you. I pray, God, that you would use their personality, their character, their integrity, and I pray that you would add to it. Again, we acknowledge you as our God. We acknowledge you as the God and the creator of this earth. And we just submit ourselves to you humbly, asking you, God, to change our circumstances, to change our hearts, to change our minds, to be steadfast and sure that from this day forward, no matter where we go, whether it's our workplace, whether it's school, whether it's just in our communities, God, I pray that people would see a change in us, that truly we've spent time with you, that truly we've read your word and are assured by the Scriptures, and that we've fervently prayed prayers that want you to move mountains for us. And so I pray, God, that blessings would come on us and that we would be so encouraged and so strengthened that we would know that the Holy Spirit is in control of us. I pray that every word that we speak would be anointed. Probably every action that we make would be anointed by you. And I pray, Lord, that we would share these things. We are meant to speak and to share with others. And so do a work in us and through us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Waiting for the walls to shake. These guys came together and had a powerful prayer meeting. I don't want to go away from this point until we all acknowledge the fact that there is such power in prayer. And getting together and praying. Certainly if you can today you can pick up a phone and pray with someone and change someone's circumstances. Let us be people that find ourselves on our knees in prayer with others before God. Notice what else happens. Not only were they confident in the answered prayer, their attitude changed. And we're just going to close out here in verse 32 through the end of the chapter. It says, "Now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul." Unity is so important. "Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possesses was his own, but they had all things in common." Look at this. "And with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus." It's always about Jesus. "And great grace was upon them all. Nor was there anyone among them who lacked, for all who were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of those things that were sold and laid them at the apostles' feet. And they distributed to each as anyone had need. And Joses, who was also named Barnabas by the apostles, which is translated son of encouragement, a Levite of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet." So, you know, we look at these verses, and for so many years they were taken out of context. You know, as if you're a believer, you got to sell everything you have, you got to live in poverty and give everything away. That's not what's happening here. Let's not forget, all the way back in chapter 3, when everyone was coming to Jerusalem and Pentecost happened and the Holy Spirit was poured out, there were those that were Jewish that now were believing in Jesus that lived in faraway lands. And they wanted to stay and they wanted to learn more about Christ. But they were there on vacation, if you will. They were there visiting. So the only way they could stay there is if others helped them to stay there. I mean, they weren't going to set up shop and get a job. They're just there to learn more about Christ. So the Holy Spirit, after these apostles and disciples prayed together, the Holy Spirit pours upon their hearts, "Provide for your brothers and sisters." It's a great heart to have, isn't it? That we're mindful of the brothers and sisters that have need in the church or in our lives. And so it's just a natural outflowing of the Spirit to be of generous spirit. But it also is a great perspective that the things that you possess do not belong to you. Amen? But why do we do that? Why do we think our stuff is our stuff? Don't touch my stuff. Can God touch your stuff? I would hope you'd all say yes in church. I mean, come on. But is that a reality? If God said to you right now, "I want you to give away X to so-and-so," would you say yes, sir, and amen, or would you say why? Because here's the thing. Not shortly after this, it was taken completely out of context and taken advantage of. So much so that the Apostle Paul, and I think it's 1 Timothy, had to set rules for when to give to people. All right? I'm gonna read out of James, if I can get there real quickly. James 1 and verse 27 says this. I'm not in James, that's why. It's like, where's 27? James 1 and 27 says this. "Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world." So we take our text from Acts, sell everything you have, give it away, and then we read this in James where it says, "Pure and undefiled religion is this, to visit orphans and widows." Now, people want to think, okay, well, if we're going to be a Christian, we got to visit orphans and widows. The meaning of orphans and widows is helping people that cannot help themselves. That's pure and undefiled religion, to have people in your life that cannot help themselves. And that's why you care for a baby, right? They can't feed themselves, they can't change themselves. You care for them. It's the same heart, that we'll be sensitive as we're praying to God to give us opportunities to represent God rightly and help those that can't help themselves. I mean, you drive around Nashville there's going to be someone standing on the corner asking for money. So as Christians, are we supposed? No. I look at those things and I was like, I want to have a conversation. I want to know what's got you there. We used to feed the homeless years ago. There was a ministry in our church that we'd go and feed the homeless every week. And actually, we started bringing some of them to church to teach them the Word of God. Until one point, one of them, as I was driving them to church, looked at me and said, you know, I could really use a CD player. And I'm thinking, wait a minute here. I'm here to help you grow in your relationship to God. I'm not Santa Claus that's going to answer your every wish. You know, the same person that said, well, God blessed me the night before. I had a nice steak and a bottle of black velvet. I'm like, well, I'll give you the steak, but the black velvet, I'm not going to say was from God. Guys, we have to be so sensitive to be willing to give, but also to have discernment to give. So this is not just a free-for-all, hey, give away all your stuff and you'll be a strong Christian. No. It's be willing to give because it all belongs to God. And if we're truly asking God to use us, if we're truly, again, what to expect when you ask? Sometimes God might put it upon your heart to help someone out in a way that may stretch you. And some of us in this room might think, well, I don't have that much to give. Listen, even the poorest in America are richer than most of the world. We can always give love. We can always give our time. That's always available to us. The problem is, do we have any time? Some of us work so much. I was just talking to a gentleman today. Last week I worked 80 hours a week. I don't have any time. It's like, yeah. That's what the world wants to do. It wants to suck all your time out of your... I always say, you can't make time. You got to take time. You got to take time to be available to God. And sometimes, as I said, the enemy will keep us so busy, we don't even have time to be used by the Lord. Listen. If you ask God, you acknowledge who He is, He will use you. I can assure you of that, even in the smallest of ways. And that blesses God abundantly. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. And Lord, we do desire that boldness. Boldness in you, boldness to preach, to share the gospel. A willing heart, Lord, to be available to you at any moment. The things that you've given to us, the things that you've given us charge over, Lord, those things belong to you, and we pray that you would use them. Use them as you see fit. Let us just be sensitive to the Spirit, willing at any moment to share, whether it's physical or spiritual. God, we're so thankful for the Word of God. We're so thankful for the men and women in the Bible that show us how to live by faith. And I just pray this week you'd use each and every one of us. That you would encourage us to believe in a God that can do the impossible. And that you will receive all the glory. For it's in your name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen.